coming up.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. Do that again. Do that again. Don't say it.
How do we make our messages, our voices, our what we're doing with our work feel felt?
This was my big lead role playing Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. Of course you were.
We can read people being fake.
Everybody has things that they do well and things they're a bit shit at, to be perfectly honest. And I don't think we should shy away from that.
How do you say that?
I'm not unhappy with what I just did.
I thought it was a choice and I was applauding it.
I audibly gasped as you said it and then thought exactly what you thought, Lance. It's a choice.
That's funny. Did you notice that?
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice. He's my co-host.
I thought you'd forgotten then. That's Sam Boffin, my co-host.
Hello. And we're here again this week because we have some work to do with voiceover actors.
Oh, we do indeed. And that work, working out how do we say that by taking some scripts and reading the words out loud with a special guest.
Because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mark, so bit of true or false.
Okay.
Two of my children have the same birthday, but 2 years apart. Oh. Is that true or false?
Now, I wonder if it would help if we knew it was 9 months after Valentine's Day or something like that.
Yeah, like, that only happens once a year, guys.
I'm going to say yes. It sounds unlikely, but I'm going to go true with that.
Actually, it's false,
but
my cousins do. Okay. My cousins have the same birthday 2 years apart.
It's funny, isn't it? When it has a basis in truth, it seems
yeah,
truer.
Here's my
true or false. My dad owned a bit of a meteorite which landed in America that scientists think could be at least 10 million years old, perhaps a lot older.
That's a lot of detail there. And I think you're scamming me with detail. I do not think your dad owned a bit of meteorite.
You're right. I was scamming you with the detail. I'll have to pull back a little bit. Oh, well. Well, of course, we also have our very special guest, voice actor Lance C. Fuller. Hello, Lance.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to
Hello.
How Do You Say That?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I wanted to jump in on the meteorite thing because my wife and I, when we were going to get married, we were going to get meteorite rings.
Oh, that's so cool.
And when you said that, I was like, yeah, that sounds totally legit. There are
so
a lot of
people. You would have gone true. See, Sam, he would have gone true.
Yeah. And I would have been wrong. So.
Well, yeah, true.
Exactly.
True. Well, Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Lance, shall we?
Lance C. Fuller is an American male actor and voice artist based in London. He's been in the UK for almost 14 years now, which is longer than he has lived in a single place apart from Wisconsin, where he grew up. So this is now home.
Yes.
So in 2022, he won the One Voice Award for Best Drama Performance Male, and he's been shortlisted for other One Voice Awards numerous times.
Well, he's also been in commercials, feature films, TV shows, on stage, video games, audiobooks, and podcasts, and Lance, now this podcast.
Yeah.
So, yes. So welcome along. Have you got a fun fact for us?
I do. So after asking my wife from the list of things, what I should say, because it was like, here's eight things. The one we settled on is that when I was in high school, I was a theater kid, and we were doing a production of Annie, and this was my big lead role, was playing Daddy Warbucks.
Oh, were you a Daddy Warbucks?
Daddy Warbucks. So, of course you
right,
were.
And so I decided, as a 17-year-old, I guess, to shave my head yeah. for the part.
I love
you
that.
You shaved your head.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And I remember this. So my kind of mentor, director, Bernie Huppertz was his name, famously bald the entire time I knew him. I gave him my hair in a box with a note from John Steinbeck that said, whatever you have, well, here's your box. Neither everything I have is in it, and it is not full. And he read that, and he teared up a bit and opened it and cackled.
Did you warn anyone you were going to do this? Or did you just appear?
Oh, I'm sure there were plenty of people who didn't know. But yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't something I snuck away and did.
So with a balding box of hair,
yeah.
Let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So, Mark, what have you brought along for our delectation and delight?
Well, this script is a corporate from a healthcare company, and it's to the industry, basically. It's to industry people about what they are doing and how great they are at it.
You get the sense of that, right? Because it has a playfulness to it, that it's trying to be a little like chummy in a way.
Yes. And interestingly, it is a 2D animation that this went with, and all of the characters have got like big friendly faces.
Right.
So I'm not sure that the animation definitely went with the style of what they were looking for.
Sure.
So I did it quite quirky. So I don't know if that gives you a
hint.
So
you were a character, yes, in this.
It was me as a character, as opposed to some quirky character. Yeah.
Oh, right. Not that there were characters that you were playing, but...
No.
Right.
No.
Okay. Of course. Okay.
Quirky rather than big, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have a go.
Okay.
You see, before the 1960s, healthcare was the unregulated Wild West, and some pretty terrible things happened. Soon, healthcare professionals realised regulation was necessary to improve the quality of care, keep patients safe, and make staff productive. So, a number of industry organisations were formed to put standards in place. That's where we come in. We help healthcare organisations and practitioners ensure they're compliant with those industry standards. And in doing this, we also help them get paid faster and improve their operational efficiency and prevent them from being fined or shut down.
Nice level of quirky there. What did you think, Lance?
So I would have actually pushed it a little bit more. Like, it was, to my taste, almost a little too professional for some of what they throw in there. There's something about the unregulated Wild West is not the most professional way of saying something. It's a little bit more, I don't know, like they're trying to be, well, quirky is the word we keep using. So I'd almost want it just to, like, a little bit more sly. See, before this. You know, I'm not going to do a line reading, of course, but...
Yeah.
Would it have helped you to know that at the words Wild West, there was a tiny little clip of like a cartoon shootout?
Yeah. I get the sense of that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I can see. I was a bit safe.
That's
maybe,
that's all,
yes.
I felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yep.
But I think as a first reading of that, it was really lovely because the director would have gone, yes, just give me a bit more quirky.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No, it's
okay.
Very, very, very good for that. Wonderful voice for that type of work. Absolutely.
Now, interestingly, Sam, and I never say this to you, I thought you went a bit fast.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's like a first in 135 episodes.
Yes. Well, interesting. Probably, actually. Probably. And that we've had this before, haven't we? When you often go faster when you're playing a character,
yes,
or somebody that's not standard,
yep,
which is actually probably a good thing to squirrel away if you want to go fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
if you see what I mean.
Yeah. But also if you're playing a character, to consciously try and bring it down a little bit.
Absolutely. The converse is true,
absolutely,
as well. But I was actually just thinking of my bete noir, which is normally that I don't go fast enough.
Yes.
Maybe that's a way in for me.
I think it is. If you do that fast stuff, the powerful stuff as a character, I think,
right,
maybe. Absolutely. Mm. Right, Lance, do you want to show us what you're going to come up with?
Okay.
Oh, I love that. Do that again.
Yeah.
I think we all ought to have a go at that.
Already.
Sound was like...
Okay. You see, before the 1960s, healthcare was the unregulated Wild West, and some pretty terrible things happened. Soon, healthcare professionals realized regulation was necessary to improve the quality of care, keep patients safe, and make staff productive. So, a number of industry organizations were formed to put standards in place. That's where we come in. We help healthcare organizations and practitioners ensure they're compliant with those industry standards. And in doing so, we also help them get paid faster and improve their operational efficiency and prevent them from being fined or shut down.
Oh, I loved that.
There's something about the American accent that just works with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it is.
Completely. It was a really nice, it just had a lovely amount of bounce to that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
For me, there was a 70s moustache going on there, for sure. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was fab.
There was one thing that I noticed, Lance, that Sam, I didn't notice with, that I noticed with you. Where it was quality of care, keep patients safe and make staff productive, it felt a bit more like a list with you, Lance, than it did with Sam. Sam kind of bounced over them. And that might have been the speed thing, Sam. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it felt a bit more listy, that bit. But that was the only kind of critique of that.
Is that a bad thing?
No, not necessarily.
Because I often think this. I often wonder if when we're doing a list and it's clear it's a list, does that not make the listener think, oh, good, I know where I am now. I feel safe.
Right.
I know where I'm going with this. I need to pay attention to this. And I know what the trajectory of this is. I know there's going to be three things or four things or six things. I wonder if that's not a good thing sometimes.
Right.
Yes.
I'd rather do it that way and then have someone say, well, can you make it less red sounding,
agreed,
you know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like it makes me think of theater training and how much the punctuation is driven into you. And that sometimes you do need to throw it away. It stops you too much. But first time around, I like to make sure it's there.
Well, Lance, as regular listeners know, we do like to throw the punctuation away sometimes.
<You're right>.
It's all good. I think maybe I was a little bit quirkier than either of you two.
Okay.
Shall I show you?
Surely not.
Blimey. All right. You see, before the 1960s, healthcare was the unregulated Wild West, and some pretty terrible things happened. Soon, healthcare professionals realised regulation was necessary to improve the quality of care, keep patients safe, and make staff productive. So a number of industry organisations were formed to put standards in place. That's where we come in. We help healthcare organisations and practitioners ensure they're compliant with those industry standards. And in doing this, we also help them get paid faster and improve their operational efficiency and prevent them from being fined or shut down.
Okay, that was interesting, wasn't it? Very nice.
Yeah.
And in playing around with the pace, which you did a lot of, you really underlined certain things without me thinking, oh, he's underlining those.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean. Knowing, like you said, it was with some animation, I could absolutely see that. You know, like there's a different quality to something that is spoken over animation, especially quirky animation for a healthcare company.
I was very lucky that I managed to see the storyboard before I recorded it, so I knew what they were going for.
Yeah, and so I could see that, those bits where it would like radically change from energetic to quiet down, like would really go with the visuals, I bet.
And did you have a moustache?
I didn't have a moustache.
That's obviously the burning question.
No, I've never had a moustache, and I hate moustaches, and I don't really like them.
No.
I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
If there were the beard, fine, but a moustache by itself, no. Not for me.
Not a 70s moustache.
Yeah, I appreciate
you're a Tom Selleck fan, I bet, aren't you?
My wife says she likes it when I have a moustache, and I feel very good about that.
I have to say, Lance, at 55 years old, I have never been in the mood to grow a moustache.
Fair enough.
And remember, of course, that these are real scripts that we're working on, but we have changed the names and some of the details to avoid copyright issues. And of course, while we're on the subject of the scripts, you can find both of the ones we're using today in the show notes of the episode.
Moustache or no moustache. So, Lance, tell us a bit about the script that you've brought to us.
So this was from a podcast series called Cold Case Crime Cuts. And I didn't know anything about it until I was cast in it. The idea was that they would spoof true crime, like American NPR style, the National Public Radio style, a true crime podcast, and they would take songs, like murders in songs, like in Copacabana or Smooth Criminal or Who Shot the I Shot the Sheriff, and treat them as if they were real.
Yeah.
And I got to play the host who was doing the investigating.
So cool.
And you know, I won't say any more about the style until after, you know, you do the reads.
Okay. I have to say I'm gonna be straight up and I know what you're saying about style, Lance, but I think I'm not going to impose my dreadful American accent on people.
I mean, you want, but I don't think you need to.
I think, Sam, I'm going to have to go another way. I think...
I've been thinking the same because, you know, there's nothing worse than doing an American accent
poor.
When you have an actual American on
yes,
the podcast.
I won't be judgy.
at all, no.
Right. You say that now.
I'm going to take us right back into the depth roots of the 50s. Let's see. Let's see what comes out.
Okay.
From Studio 7H in Lola Plaza, New York City, and in collaboration with NAR Studios in Los Angeles, California, I'm Mason Lane, and this is Cold Case Crime Cuts. Stories inched apart. Stories coaxed outside. Restoring, repainting, and revarnishing faded shades of story from first to last and back again. Stories that sing or have been sung in song. Listen out for them, maybe before you listen to this. Episode 7, Smooth Criminal.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that.
No, but the suggestion of a sort of old BBC RP presenter, which I think works for so many things.
Well, I looked at it and I thought, if I'm not going to do American, I'm going to have to fall back into something that might work for that. I'm not unhappy with what I just did.
Coaxed.
Coaxed.
Yeah.
I thought it was a choice
what? And I was applauding it.
Well, it was in my brain. I saw coaxial cable.
Oh, yeah.
That you used to plug into the back of a TV.
Yeah.
I audibly gasped as you said it and then thought exactly what you thought, Lance. It's a choice.
Yeah. Yes. Not the right choice.
So, and I thought, is it something that has missed me, passed me by? Is there such a thing as a coax?
And yet, anyway, when I read it through this afternoon, only quickly, I didn't see it as coaxed. So that literally was in the moment.
Oh, my God. So, obviously very different, I am absolutely sure, from how you will do it, Lance. So what did you think in terms of, because obviously that would be the voice that would, you know, create the atmosphere, you know, go throughout. What did you think of that as a choice?
I like it as a choice because the BBC RP presenter mid-century works because it's a thing where you're playing it straight, right? You're delivering, the news and all the important information and never, you're never emphasizing anything too much because you're just needing to get it out. And that's, I think that's how it's written. It's the kind of thing where you
respect... It's that kind of film noir style from the other side, isn't it?
Yeah, and you respect the comedy by not playing it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So so there's a way that could very well work. I think you'd have to tweak the subject slightly, although, you know...
Yes.
But although in a way it could still very much work, like you were someone who was going to America to do a BBC presentation on these crimes that are happening in America.
It gives it a very retro feel. In that sense, yeah, absolutely.
And I think they intended some of that as well as it being very modern. You know, like he's kind of an old school radio reporter, but in the podcast age.
Obviously, I'm going to go different. Yeah. I'm probably going to go more on the dark side. Yes, more atmospheric, but my style of dark and atmospheric. Yeah. So it'll be different again, I suppose.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
I'm not sure about it, but we'll have a go. Anyway, okay. From Studio 7H in Lola Plaza, New York City, and in collaboration with NAR Studios in Los Angeles, California, I'm Mason Lane, and this is Cold Case Crime Cuts. Stories inched apart. Stories coaxed outside. Restoring, repainting, and revarnishing faded shades of story from first to last and back again. Stories that sing or have been sung in song. Listen out for them, maybe before you listen to this. Episode 7, Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, it sets up the real noir tone.
It really is. I thought that worked really nicely. If you're not going to go down the American route, I think that actually brought a lot of atmosphere to it.
And the thing that's really fun, like, because these are comedy scripts deeply, you can do so many different things with them to set it up. And so if you started it that way and then the episode took a different turn, it would be a wonderful setup for it to be completely not like that at all.
Yes.
So it's a nice choice for that alone.
If you play the comedy straight, it becomes funnier when you're actually kind of listening to it.
You'll hear this. I think you'll hear this when I do it. It's been a few years since I've had to do this voice. Fair. But that was the interesting thing about these scripts is they are so dense with jokes. Yeah. That it's the it's silly upon silly upon silly, and you're four jokes later before you recognize that there was something really funny said like two sentences ago. Because it is just, it's absurd upon absurd upon absurd, but delivered in the most like direct way.
Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous pastiche.
Yeah.
In the, you know,
yes,
with, I mean, stories inched apart, stories coaxed outside is just like the maddest thing.
Yeah.
As I was saying it, I was thinking, my God, this, but you know, it's a fab little script.
See, it makes more sense.
I mean,
as stories coaxed apart now, doesn't it?
Yeah,
coaxed apart. Yeah, quite.
I want to hear it, Lance. I really want to hear what Mason Lane sounds like.
I'm Mason Lane. Okay. From Studio 7H in Lala Plaza, New York City, and in collaboration with NAR Studios in Los Angeles, California, I'm Mason Lane, and this is Cold Case Crime Cuts. Stories inched apart, stories coaxed outside. Restoring, repainting, and revarnishing faded shades of story, from first to last and back again. Stories that sing, or have been sung, in song. Listen out for them, maybe before you listen to this. Episode 7, Smooth Criminal.
Not what I was expecting, but boy, does that work.
It wasn't. It really does. And it's got a real, again, a real pep to
it,
which, bearing in mind you're in it all the way through each episode, must lend quite a lot of pace and flair to it.
And I think that was the thing about not playing the comedy. Like, you can be, like, it's a slightly comedic voice. I mean, because it's not full-on goofy, but it's still characterful.
And it's because it could be serious, couldn't it? And that's the joy of that. It could be exactly straight that.
Yeah. And then if you just plow on through it, and, like, obviously you emphasize little points here and there, but if you just keep going, it makes it funnier because you haven't stopped to say, ha-ha. That's funny.
Yes, exactly.
Did you notice that?
Yes,
exactly.
You had a brilliant pause after stories that sing or have been sung, as if it's an afterthought in song. And it works so beautifully.
It's the thought. It occurs to him.
Yeah.
In song. Yeah.
It was such a subtle difference to your voice as well.
Because
often when we take on another voice, we often feel as though we need to radically change our own voice or try to radically change our own voice. So actually just those little tweaks that made such a difference. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what I thought was interesting was the number of people who told me they didn't realize it was me because, and you notice this, right, that if you're in a, you know, a crowded room and you hear someone that you know, but you haven't seen them, you absolutely, you're like, oh, Sam's there. Because our voices are so distinctive that those tiny little tweaks can absolutely change, you know, obviously intonation, but they can change character by being slightly higher, slightly faster or slower. You know, our speech patterns are like fingerprints.
Well, let's see if those tiny little tweaks are going to take us somewhere else now, shall we? It's time for the wild card section of the show, Lance. Can you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, something different to do with it?
I think I'll go with the first one, and for Sam. This Do It Differently was based on something I saw online the other day, and I just kind of wanted to see how you would do it. You are on an overlook platform looking out at a mountain in the distance, and you see an avalanche starting to happen. And then you see the people in front of you excitedly turn around and start taking selfies in front of this avalanche that's happening in the background. And you're watching all of that.
Okay. And I've got to work out whether I'm appalled or trying to get their attention. And is that sort of thing, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I was imagining it as if you were like, what are you doing, people?
Do those people need to get out of the way of the avalanche?
In the thing that I was watching, it was not going to hit them, but it was coming closer and closer and closer.
Right.
I was like, this thing where people just, you know, wherever they are, oh, I should get a selfie with this. Can you imagine? Look at this. How amazing this is. So that that idea.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. You see, before the 1960s, healthcare was the unregulated Wild West, and some pretty terrible things happened, and soon healthcare professionals realized regulation was necessary to improve the quality of care, keep patients safe, and make staff productive. Oh, so A number of industry organisations were formed to put standards in place. That's where we come in. We help healthcare professionals and organisations and practitioners ensure they're compliant with these industry standards. And in doing so, we help them get faster and improve their operational efficiency and prevent them from being fined or shut down.
The sheer incredulity of what you were seeing absolutely came out. And you were exasperated by it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got that, though. I just don't know if I got...
I think that did come out, actually. What do you think, Lance?
Because I think you're beguiled. You know,
good word. Yes.
You know, you can't believe what people are doing. So it's not that you can fully express anything because you're just shocked.
Yeah.
So
just the most bizarre thing. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was difficult to know where to start. With
yes,
that.
I can imagine.
You
that
know,
was
difficult
tough,
to know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So
that was very
I had
specific.
To see it at some point. But yeah.
So thank you for giving it a go because I realize it's a lot of...
Interesting.
Yes, a toughie. I think I've got a nice little ACTI exercise toughie one for you, Lance.
Okay.
If that's okay. And yeah. I'm going to give you script two. Now, I realize that's your script, but in a way, forget everything that you've known about it.
Yeah.
Because what I want it to be, what I want to feel is you are a kettle boiling, you get to the boil point and you're there boiling away, and then you click off.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Fascinating. From Studio 7H and Lala Plaza's New York City, in collaboration with NAR Studios in Los Angeles, California, I'm Mason Lane, and this is Cold Crisp Crime Cuts. Stories inched apart, stories coaxed outside, restoring, repainting, and revarnishing faded shades of story from first to last and back again. Stories that sing or have been sung in song. Listen out for them. Maybe before you listen to this. Episode 7, Smooth Criminal.
Nice, nice, absolutely. You could really see
it. I love
the
way you got that quality of, you know, kind of steam and boil in there at the beginning. That was amazing.
Because our, you know, and I'm sure this is many kettles, but ours does that like sort of frying sound, like as it starts. And I was like, oh nice. God, how do you do that? Like, and yeah, so I almost kind of wanted to put on the voice, create a voice, but instead I thought I'd go for the energy.
The crescendo of that was so lovely, and then you felt the moment it just clicked off.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was the thing, was trying to figure out how much of it you wanted to do after everything had stopped.
Did you think then that maybe you clicked off slightly too early? Did you give yourself too much at the end?
Yeah, yeah. And so I was trying to, that's why I went full whisper, because I thought, I've got a lot to do now. What's it doing? Cooling down? You know?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That was a fascinating challenge.
Fun.
Right back to drama school.
Exactly.
Okay. So I would like you as well, Mark, to do script two. And you are a Hallmark card poetry writer.
Oh, yeah.
And you've had a brilliant idea for the best poem ever to go in this particular card. So I want to hear the moment where you have a great idea, write it down, then sit back impressed with yourself.
Okay. For the Hallmark cards. Right.
Hallmark cards.
Oh. All right.
You might have writer's block at the beginning, who knows?
I think I probably have. So, Studio 7H in Lala Plaza, New York City, in collaboration with NAR Studios in Los Angeles, California. Oh, I'm Mason Lane. This is Cold Case Crime Cuts. Stories inched apart. Stories coaxed outside. Restoring, repainting and revarnishing faded shades of story from first to last and back again. Stories that sing or have been sung in song. Listen out for them. Maybe before you listen to this. Episode 7, Smooth Criminal, I Love You.
I have the biggest smile on my face listening to you, both of you, do these, because it's just so delightful to hear a different take on it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, that's a very different take on that, isn't it?
Oh, but it's lovely because you're just so sweet. You're so pleased with yourself for having.
Yes.
Oh, I've nailed the Hallmark card.
Yeah. God, I'm so clever.
I don't know if I did nail it, but you know.
Oh, I know. I loved it.
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself in your own booth.
Play How Do You Say That?
Lance.
Yes.
So you say on your website, whether you need serious, snarky, or somewhere in between, I'll make sure your message doesn't just get heard, it gets felt. Ooh. So how do you do that? How do you make something get felt? What's the secret behind that?
Right. And it's the one you keep trying to answer again and again. But I think my version of that is you kind of know, you know, we talked about how we're not right for everything. We're not going to get every job because, you know, some of us don't do certain things. Some of us excel at other things. And one of the things that I keep, like, that I'm good at is comedy stuff. And characters, whatever. And so for me, if I can do something that, well, A, if it makes me laugh, then I'm going to assume that it can tweak that feeling in someone else. And that's mostly right. Obviously, not everyone's has the same sense of humor.
Do you know what? I feel exactly the same way when I'm on TV. If I'm entertaining myself, other people will be entertained as well.
Yes. And you know what? Because your sense of being entertained, your joy or just like happiness in it, that people can tell, right? And they can we can read people being fake. So I think similarly, when you're doing, whether it's drama or something really heartfelt, you know, if you can feel it, you know, then that will come through. And again, not everyone's going to have the same reaction regardless of what you do. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, when I used to do theater, and I felt like this was a real revelation, if I could suddenly feel something in my chest, like, you know, kind of that sense of nerves, but it's a sense of feeling, I thought, I'm probably in a good place right now because I'm really feeling this. Then you thought, you know, just keep going with this because you're in it right now.
Yeah.
So I took a marketing course recently. And what's amazing is marketing courses, like you'll find people say, here's what they'll teach you. Boom, 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 boom. And I went, yep, they taught me that. But what it did is it made me understand that, like, if you're trying to appeal to everyone, you basically appeal to almost no one because you're too general.
Yep.
So if you have your niche and your thing that you're really good at that is really authentically you, be that. And then try and get that little slice. And then the rest, whether or not that happens, that's not your, you know, that's not what you're going for. So I decided to do that. And I updated my website recently just to be like, I'm leaning into it all the way. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it goes.
I think people worry that if they do that, then it sort of almost says, I can only do this, I can't do all the other stuff. But actually, I found that to be the reverse, that people then remember you for the stuff that is quintessentially you, the stuff that you do really well. And they are able to see in that perhaps something different that you can do for them that's slightly away from where you are. I mean, that's my feeling, and that's what I have learned over the years. Yeah, if you try and generically appeal to everyone, you end up, you know, never quite hitting the mark.
Yeah, and I actually, one of the recent thoughts I had was everyone's worry about AI. I was like, well, then you have to be as human as possible.
Yeah.
And, the less generic you can be, the more you're bringing something inherently human and interesting and felt, you know, and whether that's... Yes. And I also think... people who do comedy, they're already triggering feelings, so they can actually do drama or bring drama a real depth as well.
It's all about the feels inside. Lance, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so
much. Enjoyed it.
Oh, this is so much fun. We just get to play for an hour.
Well, exactly. Well, a reminder that all of Lance Seafuller's details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, they can. And of course, the scripts are there too. And do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review for us.
Yes, absolutely. That's it for this week, though. Thanks again to Lance Seafuller. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, and this is the bit, Lance, where we do it all together. You've heard enough of this to know what we're doing now.
All right.
We'll be asking, how do you say that?
How do you say that?